Yes, welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us to learn our faith in a very, very practical way. My name is Pastor Fred Ellis, and I'm joined together here with Pastor Ramir. We're in the studio together, and we're just going to be talking back and forth, okay, about this great subject, okay, of God's unchangeableness, His immutability. He just doesn't change. He's consistent. So this is a word, okay, that we don't use too much, immutability. But also, okay, we understand the word mutant. And mutant, okay, talks about like a mutation, something that changes. Generally, okay, mutations are not good in the biological sense, in the medical sense. But the world says that change is good, but God never changes. Never changes it. I'm going to ask Pastor Ramir to give his thoughts on the subject of God never changing. And before that, I just want to preface it with this beautiful verse, okay, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore the sons of Jacob are not consumed. God's unchangeableness in our lives, His consistency in our life, gives us an amazing security. It gives us amazing rest. So please, Pastor Mira, you kick it off, okay?
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Pastor Fred. Good to be here with you.
Nice to be here with you.
Yeah.
It is.
And everyone listening to us, we know that you will be encouraged by God today. So when you mentioned that, Pastor Fred, God is unchanging and therefore I am secure, you know, those two words come to my mind. Is first the word unchanging, like unchanging when you do, like you mentioned the word mutant, and it's not stable, it's not constant. Like there's always changing happening. But it's a blessing to know that the God that we serve is never change. You know, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And He is unchanging. And the other word I'm thinking about is the word secure. And how many times a lot of people are looking for security? You know, that's one thing that they really want to achieve, or they're always kind of like grabbing for that security. I need security in every areas of my life. But really the security that we can get, or we can only have security if we believe in the unchanging God.
Amen.
You know, the unchanging God. And what comes to me when I think about that is Psalm 144. In Psalm 144, it said, this is, of course, David saying that the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Like when I think about the fortress, it's like I went to visit UK in last year in September.
Yeah,
and they show me, you've probably been there, you saw the fortress.
Oh, that Roman fortress.
Yeah, it was thick, huge.
Yeah.
It's like there's no amount of bullet who can pass through that. When I see that, I was thinking about God is my rock and my fortress, unchanging, unmovable.
Yeah.
And if I'm behind that, wow, what kind of security?
We have the security. The security that we have is really in Him.
Yeah.
In Him, we are
secure. Yeah.
And, I think about, like, you do a lot of counseling here in the ministry. You're very, very good at it. You're trained with it. You're compassionate. You're a good listener. You sit with people where they sit. And, we're in a very, very changing world. I mean, unbelievable change. I mean, you think about like in the last 100 years, or let's say 150 years, we went from a horse and buggy two, okay, spaceships, okay, landing, you know, on the moon and circling the earth.
Yeah.
A lot of things that really happen.
Yeah.
And the opposite, okay, of stability or security is anxiety.
Yeah.
So you probably deal with a lot of people that are affected by, in a very, very changing world, changing relationships, no stability. Do you want to talk about that and how this biblical truth really affects our life?
Yeah, my experience so far is, unfortunately, there are people who have a hard time adjusting with some of the changes that are happening in the world. You know, like it's hard for them to catch up the speed of how much we change, like in every, not even in a decade, like the change can happen in a couple of years or, you know, we, like you said, that difference 100 years ago, like when in the 80s where I grew up, it's like 5 years old, we're playing on dirt, mud, we're running on a field, rice field and all of that. And today I can see the 5 year old child have an iPad. And by 9 years old, they have their first, they own their first iPad. And then by the age of 12, maybe a cell phone.
Yeah.
A high-tech cell phone. So in my counseling experience sometimes is there is a lot of anxiety catching up with what's happening in the world. And all social media. And that brings a lot of insecurity because of the standard that we are posting on the social media.
Yeah.
And a lot of changes, you know, that with the dressing, the way we dress, the way we act, the way we say things. Some people have a hard time, coping up with that, and they stay home and they would rather stay home. And of course, associated with some depression. Mm-hmm. But the solution is always God, right?
That's keep your eyes on the one who never changes.
There you go.
He is the unchanging God.
Yeah.
His parts don't move. He is like 100%. He is self-existent.
Yeah.
He is eternal, and he does not change.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, that's the stability in your life, my life, and all, hopefully all those that are listening, that we look upon him.
Yeah.
And, he is our stability.
Yes.
He is our rock.
Yes, yes.
And I think about over the years some really, really hallmark, verses, okay, that really kept us rooted and grounded. And it's in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
That by two immutable things to which it's impossible for God to lie. And I got thinking about, okay, these two immutable things. And, they weren't just clearly present, popping off the page to me, but I got thinking that the two things that really, really don't change is his promises, his word, and his purpose for his life.
Oh.
I mean, God does not, he does not change. He is not, okay, conditional. He is not, okay, situational. And he's not dependent upon our response.
Yes.
He is who he is. And it makes a simple, straightforward fact. God is love.
Yeah.
And that's who he is.
Yeah.
He is love. He doesn't change.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think if we grab that truth from the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, how much security we can feel inside out.
Oh, really?
You know, it's like, what else can I trouble me if I know that the God that I have is will provide, not only will provide everything that I need, but he will be my security. He will be my refuge. I think you say that in verse 18, you know.
Yes.
We will fled to him. We will run to him.
He will be our refuge.
And he will be our refuge.
Yeah, you think about the security and the rest that a child has in his mother's arms.
Yeah.
He's very, very secure.
Yeah.
Very secure.
Yeah.
And we have these amazing promises, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think about the torment that an individual have if they do not realize their security in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, we are secure in his hands in John chapter 10:28. We are secure in the Father's hand.
Yeah.
No one is able to pluck them out, us out of that.
Yes.
And his unchangeable love towards us is not dependent upon our behavior or our response.
I like that.
Yeah. It really, really isn't. And, another thing, okay, that never changes is that his faithfulness never changes. Even if we deny him, yet if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. He doesn't deny himself.
Yeah. Pastor Fred, just to tag along with that, I have this verse is from Seb. I have to give him a credit for giving me this verse. James chapter 1, verse 17. So the point I would like to say is at the end of the verse, but I'm going to read the whole verse, which is amazing. It says, James said that every good and perfect, every perfect gift is from above.
Yes.
Coming down from the Father of lights.
Mm-hmm.
And with whom, here's the point I want to make, there is no variation or shadow due to change.
Like
there's not even a shadow that God would ever change his mind about what he thinks about us and who we are in him and what is his plan to us. There was no variation. Like, you know, when you do in high school, when you do experiment, you have what we call variation, like when it changes, what happened on the first day, the second day, the third day.
Mm-hmm.
So James, he said, there was nothing like that. There was no, like you said, God doesn't operate the way we do.
Yes.
Like, did we do good work and then God will give us a good things? No. No, he's like unchanging. And when he said that you are blessed, when he said that you are secure, when he said that you are cleansed, when he said that you are loved, then you are. You are what he said he is.
Yeah.
No variation, no shadow, not even a shadow.
Not even a shadow. A shadow can change very, very easily.
Yeah.
God says
it
nothing.
Moves, right?
Yeah, it moves.
Yeah.
It goes in and out. And, but God says no shadow of eternity will ever change.
Yeah,
he's consistent. He is straightforward. I thought about the character and nature of God, that never changes, okay?
Amen.
And I love the scripture, and it was a hallmark scripture in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, that not one word of his promise will ever fail.
Wow.
You know, his word never fails, never changes.
Yeah.
And we can rest on that. We can actually stand on his promises.
Yeah. None of them would fall to the ground.
They never fall to the ground. He will never pull the rug from out of us.
Yeah.
You know, we can stand on those promises.
Yeah. So question, Pastor Fred.
Yeah.
Like in our daily life, you know, we want to like satisfy our God, right? You know, we want to satisfy him with our walk with God. Sometimes we think like that.
Yeah, we can think that way. Yeah.
Is that, I mean, that's a valid, feelings sometimes, right? How can I, or maybe the question would be, how can I satisfy myself to God? How can I serve God and not looking for something else?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Well, I mean, when I think about the satisfying God, we think of a word, okay, like sacrifice.
Yeah.
You've been in countries where people, okay, always, they offer up sacrifices.
Yeah.
They offer up, okay, food.
Yeah.
They offer up incense. They offer up, you know, sometimes, you know, to the extreme they offer because they want to satisfy or appease, okay, a god that they don't know.
Yeah.
And they can never know unless they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But God is, Jesus Christ is our expiation.
Yeah.
He is our sacrifice.
Yeah.
He that knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Yeah.
He is the only one. And when I come to that realization, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and 10:14, by one offering, he has perfected forever those, okay.
Yeah.
And in fact, let's really, really turn to that in Hebrews.
Yeah, Hebrews 10.
10:10. Mm-hmm. And this talks about sacrifice by the which we will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Wow.
That is the offering, the expiration. It's only by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are shifted in to a mindset, it's only by him that he did the work that I could never do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that takes a removal, okay, removes all the striving. When I am trying to please God by what I do or how I respond, then I'm missing the boat.
Yeah.
And I will always come up short.
Yeah.
And I will always be striving. And I will never have rest.
Yeah.
But God, okay, is immutable. He is unchanging.
Yeah.
He gave you and I and all those that are listening, he provided the sacrifice in his son, Jesus Christ. And that makes God very, very, he propitiates himself towards us. He is well pleased, okay, with the offering of the Son of God.
Yeah.
So he's pleased with our life.
Yeah. You mentioned the word unmovable. Can you imagine if you have no idea that God has done everything for you and you are secure with him and you're a Christian, and every time you go to a Bible study, you were thinking if you are saved or not? Like you are constantly conscious about, am I doing the right thing? Am I, am I going to be, if the rapture happened, am I going to be part of it?
Yeah.
Because I used to go to that organization where it's a lot of work to do to catch up with. You have to pay attention to everything you do. Make sure you make it to the rapture.
Yeah.
You should be on a Bible study or you should be in the church
when
the rapture happens.
And there's no rest.
Exactly. It's like no rest. And the constant trouble of thinking, am I worthy before Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I going to make it to the cutoff? Like, did I meet the standard?
But you and I, we can proclaim, okay, worthy is the Lamb.
Yeah.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is
the Lamb. He is worthy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the sacrifice that he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
It was, I was thinking about Leviticus, was it chapter 11, Pastor Fred, when there's two goats? Two goats for, when they were building the tabernacle.
13 and 16, right?
Yeah.
They
had two goats, and one of the goats will be killed and be sacrificed, and the blood will be sprinkled to the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
At the mercy seat, I believe. And then the other one was released to the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And be sent out. And when I think about that, I know that some people will interpret that differently, but for my personal devotion, I would like to think about the two goats as both. They both represent Christ, how Christ died mm-hmm. on the cross and his blood was sprinkled for us.
Yes.
And there was you mentioned about one-time sacrifice.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus did. I also think that he was the goat released to the wilderness and mm-hmm. gone forever with our sin.
Yeah, never be found again.
And never be found. Our sin is never be found again. Never mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking about that, as that
wow.
is Jesus, it gives me a lot of security
yeah.
in my walk with Christ. That
yeah.
it's not all about me and what I do,
mm-hmm.
but it's so much about what Christ has done
yeah.
for me. You know,
yeah.
And that gives me a lot of security with my walk with him and my relationship with friends and family and everyone else.
Because he is the one that never changes.
Yeah.
He is immutable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, his thoughts towards us never really change.
Yes. Yeah.
In Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah.
They are good and they are not evil.
Yes.
To give us an expected end.
Yeah.
His thoughts never change.
Yes.
You know, my thoughts, okay, can easily sometimes change, okay, with a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, thoughts are, you know, a subject, okay, many times to, and that's a really good indication, okay, that I'm really, really not walking the Spirit.
Yes.
And I'm not walking, you know, not filled with the Spirit, thinking in love and that type of thing. But God, okay, always okay.
Yeah.
His thoughts never change.
Yes.
They're always for good.
Amen.
To give us an expected end.
Amen.
So, his thoughts are immutable.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about his love is immutable.
Mm-hmm.
His faithfulness is immutable.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we deny him,
mm-hmm.
He won't deny us.
Mm-hmm.
And, and then I was thinking, this morning on Lamentations 3:23, it's by the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed.
Wow.
And his compassion never fails,
mm-hmm.
never fails.
Yeah.
And for us and you and I and the listening audience to really get a grasp on that God is the only, he's the consistent one.
Yes, yes. These verses, Pastor Fred, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21 is amazing mm-hmm. verses, but
yes.
I would just pick one. I think at verse 17. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded. So those two words. And in love. You mentioned love.
Yeah.
You know. So rooted and grounded in love. And I think that's what Christ has done to us. His love towards us is rooted and grounded.
It's rooted, it's stable, it's immutable.
Yeah.
A root and ground really speaks of immutability, right?
Yeah.
His love.
And there's really nothing that I can do that can upset God, I think, in my opinion. My opinion is there's nothing I can do that can change that love towards me.
Yeah. You know, I think about like the love of a mother is most likely, the closest thing to the love of God. Because the love of a mother really, really doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, her son could do a heinous crime,
mm-hmm.
kill somebody.
Yeah.
And that the love of the mother, first of all, say that my son never did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the love of the mother will stay,
mm-hmm.
Will visit, will never, never fails.
Yeah.
And I think the love of a mother is a really human example,
yeah,
the closest to the really love of God.
Yes.
That and when we become like rooted and grounded in that love,
yeah. Yeah.
we have stability.
Yeah.
You know, I think in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says about rest in that love.
Yeah.
That, yeah, which is an amazing principle, just to rest in that love. There's security in love.
Mm-hmm.
And the unchangeableness yeah. of the love of God.
Yeah. You know, Pastor Fred, the other example of that I can think of is one of my, actually my favorite story in the Bible is in the book of Hosea chapter 3. I mean, the whole book technically was.
Yeah.
You know the story where Hosea, being a man of God, a single man, mm-hmm. walking holy and righteous before Christ. And mm-hmm. you know the story how God asked him to marry yeah. a prostitute, which is, I don't right. mean to pivot on another topic, but I just want to demonstrate how God is faithful and his love is amazing. And, you know, Hosea married a prostitute and a promiscuous woman. And it was like he did not question God about it. Like, Lord, really? I am a pastor, evangelist, and I'm preaching the word. And you want me to look for... But I realized that that woman is us.
Yeah.
I put myself to Gomer. Like, I prostitute myself to the world.
You prostitute,
it, for the lack of better words, and I don't mean harm to use
very
that
good
word.
Words.
I'm just saying that we all been used by the world, and we give all of our talents to the world and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then Hosea, after marrying her and she being unfaithful, left him. And God said to Isaiah, go back, find her, and marry her again. It's a mm-hmm. demonstration of God's unfailing love.
His unfailing love.
He's chasing us all the time.
It's amazing, yeah. And the progression, okay, with Ephraim, you know, like, you know, I mean, I don't want to have anything to do with Ephraim. You know, Ephraim is connected, okay, to idols. And then he says at the end, how can I give up?
Yeah.
On Ephraim. Right. God never gives up on us.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he never gives up.
Yeah.
He's faithful.
Just knowing that as one of the character of God, the faithfulness of God, you know, and one of his attributes is love. You know, God is love. God is faithful and changing.
Yeah.
That is good to know with my walk with God every day.
It is good to know. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, maybe somebody in the listening audience is listening and they, you know, they're thinking that, you know, maybe God will give up on them.
Yeah.
No, he cannot. It's not part of his nature.
Yes.
He never gives up on anybody.
Yeah.
He desires all people to be saved, all men to be saved.
Yeah.
And right to the end.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about deathbed conversions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just a demonstration, okay, that God never giving up on anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with our walk, he never gave up on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He never gave up on Gomer.
Mm-hmm.
And he never gave up on Ephraim. He doesn't give up on us.
Mm-hmm.
That's his character and his nature is immutable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is it possible for me, if I am a lukewarm believer, to experience the unchanging and security that I need in my walk with God? Is it possible for me, being a lukewarm, like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with God, but I'm not with God, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I love God, sometimes I don't.
Well, you know, the booklet, Just Let God Love You, it changes people. And I think, okay, the lukewarmness in our life, maybe in all of our lives, that when God's love is introduced, okay, into our life,
mm-hmm.
it changes us.
Yeah.
The unchangeable God introduced into our life really, really changes us.
Yes.
And I think the big shift is, okay, changes us from the old man into the realization of the new man.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, because I think as a believer, we have to somehow make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Do I really love God? I know that God never changes and he chases me all the time. But where am I with my relationship with God?
Mm-hmm.
Is my left foot still in the world and my right foot is in God? Or sometimes we do have to make a decision of how much we want God in our life. If we are looking for some changes, like big changes, you know, in our walk with God, or maybe the question, why is this happening to me? Maybe the question would be more like, how much of God I want in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Do I really want him in all areas of my life?
Yeah, yeah. It's always been said, okay, that, you know, you kind of, you know, a house has many rooms, and, okay, there's certain rooms, okay, that you really don't want people to go into. I remember, like in our house, I mean, we would call it like, kind of clutter room, you know, kind of a junk room, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But, but God really desires to invade all the rooms of our heart. You know?
Yeah, amen.
And, you know, men of God like John Wesley, D.L. Moody, you know, they said, that, you know, if you give your, that they wanted to be a man that gave every room of their heart, every bit of their life to open and bear before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking too that he's unchangeable unto his work. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, faithful is he who calls you who will also do it, that he will do it. And getting back to your question, Pastor Ramir, was that, you know, like, okay, what part of it is our decision? What part of it is God's initiation to us? Well, I think it really boils down to it's all grace. It's all God initiating. You know, we can close off our heart. We can be hard-hearted. We can be evil-hearted. I think it just boils down to God's immutable initiation to our lives.
Yeah.
His unfailing love.
Yeah.
And that changes us. Love really, really changes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And as I or you, the listening audience, just open ourselves up to the love of God, things really happen.
Yeah.
Things really, really happen. I get helped with my decisions. You know?
Because God is, when I think about God, he's a gentleman, you know?
He's a gentleman,
He's not forcing us to do something against our will,
No, he is.
So it's like, and then on the other side of our walk with God is we have a lot of questions why God is not doing this and why is God is not doing that in my life, why I don't have probably victory on this part. But then, the question is like, you know, like you said, am I allowing God to enter in that room of my life?
Yeah.
You know, is he welcome to do something in that area of my life?
Yeah.
You know, am I allowing the unchanging God to change me? And am I holding on to his promises when he said this, when I do this, this is what he will do?
Yeah.
You know, and by doing that, sometimes a lot of times, that's the key. If I submit to God, then I will have security in that area of my life.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think the prayer of submission would be maybe like in Psalm chapter 12, help.
Yeah.
I remember, where you can't really do anything, but you just cry out, help, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, totally at the point where you're totally dependent upon him.
Yeah.
And he comes through.
Yeah.
He's unchanging.
Yeah. And go back to Psalm 144, Pastor Fred.
Yeah.
I just want to mention those, six words that are similar. We call it synonyms, you know?
Yeah.
Like, six words, but actually one word. Like the character of God in verse 2, 144, verse 2, that he is steadfast, he is my fortress, stronghold, deliverer, shield, and refuge. Like when I look at these words right now, I was thinking about when you are having a war with somebody or with a group or with people, there's a war. These words are pretty much important. Like, you need to have a fortress. You need to have a very good stronghold.
Yeah.
You need a deliverer. You need a shield when you go to war. And you need a refuge. And all of these words, in my opinion, it's all about Christ. It's all about who he is.
Yes.
And so when I think about that, I was thinking about, well, actually, I don't really need anything else in a battle, in my spiritual battle in life. All I need is Christ. I don't even have to fight the battle.
Yeah, no.
It's Christ fighting for me.
My eyes are
right?
upon you, O Lord.
Yeah.
And what you pointed out in Psalm 144, verse 2, it starts with, my goodness. My goodness, okay, like the goodness of God teaches someone to repent, you know, and that we would just open ourselves up to the goodness or the love of God. And then we have this security, and there's a real security in God's love. And that fortifies us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're living in a world where there is a lot of insecurity.
Sure, the anxiety, insecurity, fast-changing world, a changing world.
Yeah.
But really, the only one that does not change is the living God.
Yeah.
He's the one that doesn't change.
Yeah.
In your security and my security, when my eyes is fixed upon him, that I have a security like never before.
Yeah.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith.
Yeah.
And Jehoshaphat said, neither do I know what to do, but my eyes are upon you.
Yeah, yeah.
My eyes are upon you. And when every one of us listening put our eyes upon Christ, you know, we have a security that the world cannot get. The world says change is good.
Yeah.
Quicker the better. But I read in my Bible that God never said that. He never even hinted to it, that God is, that change is good. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he said, I'm gonna bring in a new covenant. But it's a progressive revelation. But he never said change is good.
Yeah.
He said, I am the Lord God, and I change not. My holiness does not change.
Yeah.
My love does not change.
Yeah.
My thoughts towards you does not change. Oh, that is the finished work. The finished work never changes.
Oh, yeah.
It's finished.
Yeah.
Like you're an artist.
Yeah.
In fact, I really enjoy the painting that's hanging
you
in
have
my
one
office.
Of them, right?
Yeah, I have one of them. And when you get done, I wish you would have signed your name so I would have after your passing, it would be worth a whole lot. But anyway, you're an artist, and when it's finished, it's finished.
Yeah.
You know, he signed your name. You don't tinker with it afterwards. It's done. It's finished.
Yes.
And God's okay.
Yeah.
God's work in our life is a finished work.
Yes.
He's pleased with it.
Yes.
Very, very pleased. You got done with a painting that you painted, and you're pleased with this.
Yeah.
Maybe you sit back and realize, I'm pleased with it.
Yes.
God is well pleased with his faithful work in every believer's life.
Yeah, wow.
It's his work.
Yeah.
He's not always pleased on our behavior.
Yes.
To qualify that.
Yeah.
But he's pleased with his finished work. He sees the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
He sees the finished project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How comforting was that to hear? Like, you know, like I can always come to my father because I know he is pleased with me.
Yeah.
Even if I made mistake, which we always do.
Yeah.
I can always run to my father.
Yeah.
Because I know I am secure with him and he is pleased with me.
Yeah.
What an amazing way to walk with God, thinking about that.
Yeah, he's pleased with the work.
Yeah.
He sees us as finished.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
You know, you got rough drafts.
Yeah.
You got, you know, the beginning of paintings, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But he is pleased with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing thoughts,
yeah. Yeah.
And those are not wishful thinking. Those are in the Word of God, right?
Yeah, so, they're immutable.
Yeah.
They're unchanging.
Yeah.
He doesn't change his mind. He started a good work in you. And, you know, he's not saying, oh, man, I am sorry I started that. No. And he's the one that will complete it. He's well pleased with your life.
Yes.
And when I can kind of grasp that and I can bathe in that.
Yeah.
And I can believe it, okay.
Yeah.
Then, okay.
Wow.
Things change in our life, don't they?
Yes. It does. Yes. It's like a light, like a daylight in a room. When I read the Word of God, it shows me all the things or the part that I need to give it to God. Like, Lord, you show me these areas and it's not worthy before you and I give it to you.
Mm.
The Word of God is, it's like, it's the light.
Yeah.
That shows us in all areas of our life and just giving to God.
It does. And when he shows it, that is sort of like, okay, I want to open it up.
Yeah.
I want to open up that life. And, getting back to Psalm 144, it's God's goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
First, his goodness. He's a good God.
Yep.
He doesn't change. His goodness towards us, does not change.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Fred, there's this verse that we all know. I think it's the memory verse of most believers, Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, every believer, as far as I know that verse.
Yeah.
You know, if God is for me, then who can be against
us? Who can be against us? And God is for
us. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't say, okay, one moment I'm for you, and then I'm going to switch. I'm not for you.
Hey, you did bad things. I'm not for you today.
Oh, yeah, seriously. And we can think that way, especially when it's reinforced, by non-doctrinal teaching, but if God is for you, God is for me, and if we could just have that as a mindset, and he doesn't change, he is for you.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
What a very good thinking to set our mindset in the day. God is for me today.
God is for me.
He's not against me.
God is for me.
Yeah, he is not against me.
Well, we got quite a few comments. I don't think we really got to any of them, but...
You got comments? Wow. Okay.
Well, but it's been very, very enjoyable, having this Grace Hour program with you.
Thank you.
And you're used very, very greatly, to touch a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
And I think the greatest... the greatest thing that you share with people that is the love of God.
Yeah.
You love people.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, and God is for us.
Yeah.
And he sees the end from the beginning.
Yes.
And he sees the finished product.
I love that. You see, he sees the end in the beginning. You know, when you go, so I live in White Marsh area, and there's always a Christmas parade, right?
Yeah.
So when you are on their eye level, you only see the part that coming to your side, right? You don't know, you see the beginning probably, but you don't know how long was the parade or where the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Very limited.
Yeah.
We are very limited.
Limited.
You said God knows the beginning and the end.
Yeah, he knows, yeah.
That's so much.
He knows the end from the beginning. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And so, listen, thank you very, very much for being on this program. It was really, really wonderful. So, amen, to be with you and to speak these thoughts.
Yeah.
In
men's
Jesus'
conference
name.
Today.
Yeah, men's conference tonight, okay?
Tonight
and tomorrow.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.